So once again, I'm here at Red Hill Library with Tina, and I'm joined by someone else this time as well.
Hi, I'm Meg Gibson. I'm the Senior Stock Officer for Surrey Libraries.
Hello, it's me again, Tina Campy here, resident at Red Hill Library. I'm a Library Network Assistant.
So Meg, we're going to start with you. The books for the library, where do they come from?
The majority of them are actually from our supplier. So libraries have like a supplier that supplies all the books. Most of them come from there. We do occasionally take donations, but most of the donations we use to supplement library income, because as you probably know, libraries are struggling these days. So quite often that's where the donations go, is to help your struggling library.
So how do you decide what is right for which library?
Well, it's mostly about listening to our customers. So we have this report called Collection HQ, and it tells us which authors and which subjects are most popular at particular libraries. And we try to make sure that you have plenty of your favourites, basically. So we mostly do it off what is the popular demand and what we feel is going to be the popular demand. So the new stuff coming out, if they like one author and this author is supposed to write like that author, we know it's probably going to be popular in that library.
So is that what you think about when you're choosing the stock?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely always what we keep in mind, is what people want. I mean, we get offered a couple of thousand books each month, basically, and we have to act on what we think our customers are going to like. And so we look at the patterns of what it gets lent out, and we just pick what people want, or we try to anyway.
So you don't work here at Red Hill Library. Mm-hmm. You work for a few libraries in East Surrey. Is each library different?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got some big libraries, like Red Hill's relatively big in comparison to a lot of the libraries I look after. I also look after Merstham, which is obviously a lot smaller library. And it's not just sizes of libraries, because obviously it's like with the different sizes of Tesco's, every place you're going to get chocolate, but the bigger ones, you're going to get a lot more selection of chocolate. So size-wise, that obviously affects what we're going to buy. But also it's different authors are popular in different libraries as well. So it's not necessarily the same taste all across the area that I look after.
So there are many books in different categories. Does it take you a long time to sort them out?
Well, we don't tend to sort them out ourselves. Basically, they come from the supplier already with their stickers on and their Dewey numbers on. So all we do is put them in the right place. So, a lot of that work gets done for us. So the biggest work for us is when they come into the libraries and we've then got to shelve them all.
Oh, well, that's helpful, I guess, isn't it? It's one job done.
Yeah, exactly.
So do different libraries hold different stocks of books?
Yep. So, for example, we have a special art collection at Epsom, which is very well known. So they obviously have a different kind of books. And also we've got a performing arts library in Dorking. So they have very specialised books as well. And then, like I said before, there's a sizing issue as well. So like the bigger libraries are going to get more stock. And also, like I said, we listen to what popular demand is as well in certain libraries. So if you have a library where a lot of teenagers go, you might have a lot more teenage stock than a library where not that many teenagers tend to go to that library. So the teenage stock tends to be a lot smaller.
So you say you have a performing arts library. It's in Dorking, I understand. Why Dorking in particular and not Red Hill?
I think historically it's always been in Dorking for as long as I can remember. It certainly was when I was doing my work shadowing there when I was at sixth form. But in recent years, we've been really, really lucky, because Denby's, when we were losing the building that we had before, Denby's stepped in and offered us a place on their land. So we're actually at Denby's Wine Estate, which is a fantastic place, because then you can go to your performing arts library, pick up your plays if you're in an Amdram group, for example, and all have a wine tasting next door before you go home.
So what is the difference between the performing arts library and an ordinary run-of-the-mill library?
Specialism, basically. They have specialist people working there whose main interests are various elements of performing arts. They've also got the Vaughan Williams collection. They have collections of plays that Amdram groups can pick up. They also have orchestral scores, so an entire orchestra can go in and take all the different musical instrument scores from there. And they have a lot of biographies on like famous film actors and ballerinas and all kinds of stuff. It's just all focused on performing arts, basically.
So presumably people will travel to that specific library.
Absolutely, and we have people who just have exclusive memberships to performing arts because that's the kind of thing that they need. But we also, if you're a member of Surrey, you can go to performing arts, obviously, as well. So, yeah, people travel from all over, and it's a good thing.
So something I've often thought about, if there is a particular book a customer wants, can they reserve it and then have it transferred to their nearest library?
Yes, they can. There is a charge for it. So if you're an adult, you do have to pay for us to send it to another library for you. But if you're a child, you don't pay. And if you're over 70, you don't pay. So you get your reservations completely free. And you can also order them to any Surrey library, and you can drop them off at any Surrey library. So for example, if you ordered a book and you had it picked up at Red Hill, if you were then going to be working in Epsom when it was due back, you could drop it off at Epsom Library.
Something else I've often thought about as well, if your book is laid back and you get a fine, where does that money go?
That's an interesting one, because it basically goes to Surrey County Council, but we have certain targets that we have to hit as a library. We have to make a certain amount of money, and that changes every year. We get a certain amount that we're told that we have to make. So although we have to make that money, it doesn't go straight back into buying books. I wish it did, but it actually goes to the council. But, you know, on the bright side, although it sounds like it's not going to books, the more we make, the more budget we'll get to be able to buy you new stock. So it does count in that way.
So have you other resources for making money other than just fines?
Oh, yeah, of course. We rent out DVDs. We rent out talking books. We also have a small amount of things that we sell. So some libraries have local history books that they sell. Some libraries have various kinds of bits of stationery. And also we have bags that we sell as well, and chart media. And we also do children's events, and we do author events occasionally. So we do events that make money as well. So we do as much as we can to bring money into the library service.
It's April's Book Club, and I'm talking to Tina and Meg from Red Hill Library. Tina, we were talking about where do the books come from in the library, whether you take donations, and you had something to say on donating children's books.
As much as we do like to try and take all donations books, if there are any mums out there whose children have outgrown their books that they have, their own personal books at home, and their children have moved on to sort of more taxing books, you know, such as the Brontes or whatever, my advice is donate them to your local school. Because schools would welcome any form of children's literature at all, you know, starting from the tiny board books, the wooden board books, going right up to through the books you can get. So yes, do you know, schools, and also I'm sure the children's unit at the East Surrey Hospital would welcome any children's books that you've got, you know, or you don't want anymore, because you know books are quite expensive. So yeah, that's where I would advise that you send them or take them.
So we're at the beginning of the school Easter holidays. Are there any events running here at Red Hill Library?
Yes, there is. Guess what? We have a Rhino Morning. Rhino Morning here at Red Hill Library, Thursday the 6th of April. Come along at 10 o'clock or just before, and you will be enthralled by the David Shepherd Foundation. That is a world wildlife conservation ladies will be here talking about rhinos and how you can protect them and what you can do. They're also... as well as talking about how you do conserve these lovely beasties, they're offering a craft centre session as well. So it's craft. So I don't know whether you'd be making a rhino. You could well be making a rhino or something. I don't know. But yes, so that's Red Hill Library, Rhino Morning, Thursday, the 6th of April, 10 o'clock till midday.
Anything on giraffes?
Well, I I suppose anything's possible. I mean, you know, you could throw elephants in that, because obviously David Shepherd, he's famous for his elephants, isn't he, in his paintings. So, yes, I mean, I suppose any form of wildlife, I'm sure they would be, you know, very interested in. Maybe even children can sort of give a little talk about, you know, what they know. So, yes, but I mean, it does prove to be a very interesting morning, and it's free. So it's free.
There's a lot
of people like free. I like free too. So it's free. So please, you know, if you're not doing anything on Thursday, the 6th of April, come along to Red Hill Library and learn about your rhinos.
Not that there's anything wrong with rhinos, but I do like giraffes.
You like giraffes?
I do.
Yeah, my favourites are orangutans.
Oh.
I love orangutans. Ooh. Yes. Do you have a favourite, Meg?
I actually like woolly monkeys. Ooh. Have you seen them? They're so cute. I went to Monkey World and they're just so lovely. You just keep going back. I just kept going back over and over again to look at them. They're adorable.
And I see you have a poster here. What's that all about?
Well, we're, again, very, very lucky. We have a group of colleagues who are going to be running Code Club at Red Hill Library. It commences Wednesday the 19th of April for 6 sessions, and that's from 4 till 5 p.m. Code Club is a nationwide network of free coding clubs for children aged between 9 and 11 years to learn coding. The projects are easy to follow, step-by-step guides which help children learn Scratch by making games, animations and websites. So it's all done on the computer. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great thing for a 9 to 11-year-old budding computer scientists. Yeah, so do come along to that. So that's going to be on Wednesday the 19th of April.
Sussex and Surrey's 103.4. Susie Radio.
It's April's book club and I'm talking to Tina and Meg from Red Hill Library. It's springtime, we've just had the clocks going forward. What's on the list for recommended reads this month?
Okay, so you should be getting out now into your gardens, at least thinking about it. You should be toiling your soil out there, and perhaps you might like to get read the RHS How Do Worms Work? How do worms work? Well, it's a question and answer book. It's a well-worn staple gardening writing by Guy Baxter, who is the RHS's chief horticultural advisor. It livens up the format and makes this book a joy to read, with answers to questions like how do bulbs know when to come up, and why does that pest eat my favourite plants but it always ignores the weeds. I don't know why these creepy crawlies that don't eat the weeds up but tend to eat your favourite, you know, tulip bulbs. Who knows why? This book, the RHS, How Do Worms Work by Guy Barter, that's a top read so far. The other one that I found is Wildflowers of Britain, a month-by-month book, which is lovely. We all love our wildflowers, and that's by Margaret Erskine Wilson, and it's a jewel of a book, apparently, containing watercolour paintings of British native plants arranged by flowering month. The painter, Margaret Erskine Wilson, was an amateur botanist and watercolourist who produced her work for over 45 years, starting out as a guide to help a friend learn the names of service tree, bladder companion and bird's eye. So that's another one. So it's a lovely time to be out in your meadows or approaching and actually seeing what wildflowers you can actually identify. So that's another book that you could possibly pick up from our library. The New Small Garden by Noel Kingsbury. If you're starting out on a new garden in 2017, a lot of people move houses this time of year, and of course there's a lot of youngsters out there who haven't a clue about doing their gardening. This is a book out. It's a great source of ideas of actually how you start your gardening, you know, be it on a small enterprise, you know. So that's another one. And there's another book here, going back to weeds, Wonderful Weeds by Madeline Harley. Don't knot the weed. Don't knock it. It's just a flower in the wrong place. That's okay. All it is, all right? So your dandelion is very pretty. Most gardeners are plant blind when it comes to what we consider to be weeds. Dandelion can mean anything with a yellow flower, and beyond nettles and daisies, the rest is just greeny. That's getting in the way of what we want to grow. Well, it isn't. You know, they're all flowers, they're all pretty, and a lot of our weeds are actually of great use. Our bees and our butterflies absolutely love them, and they're essential to the health of our garden. So, yes, I don't like daisies and dandelions, but I do always keep a few in the garden, because you can bet your bottom dollar that if you're out there and there is a dandelion or a daisy on there, there'll be a bumblebee sitting on it. And that's a good thing.